It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and coming at me this week, as per usual, is Cheddar Talk himself, Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man? It's been kind of boring and cold this last week.
Yeah, it's been a weird, not so much weird, but there's been not so many great events in terms of stuff. It's, you know, that letdown after a Super Bowl and all this other stuff. But yeah, it's definitely been cold. Had the kids stay home today too.
I'm just happy I'm down here in tropical Wisconsin now, yeah, instead of up in the Great White North where I used to be. My father-in-law said it was 34 below zero actual temperature this morning when he woke up.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's hard cold. Cold makes your body hurt.
See, at this point now, I wear that mask. I just think of wearing it all the time. I mean, I don't need people around me. It just kind of keeps the heat next to my face, which is nice. I might wear three.
Right. There you go.
Because that's not such a bad idea up at this point of the year. No. But anyhow, thank you everybody again for joining us. As we said last week, we've had several more people in Spanish-speaking countries. We have Uruguay, Paraguay, Mexico, and we also had Spain last week as well, joining us, our first listeners in Spain. So thank you again. Hola. Bienvenidos. But thank you again, everybody, for joining us. And however it is that you listen to us, please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. The other thing to remember is that, of course, we're all on Twitter. You can follow this show itself at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. It's easy to remember. I say at the beginning of every show. And Aaron, how do people follow you on Twitter?
You can find me at Cheddar Talk, John, at Cheddar Talk, Cheddar like cheese, talk like what comes out of your mouth, at Cheddar Talk. Thank you.
It's fantastic. He's a great follow, and sometimes he's going to come at you out of left field. Sometimes, you know, sometimes he just comes straight at you, I guess. Aaron is an interesting guy, and that's why I love doing this podcast with you, brother.
Oh, thank you.
You know it. All right, everybody, let's buckle in. Let's talk some Wisconsin sports here, and we're going to start everything off with what we like to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right. Main event starts off, I guess, we'll sort of start off with the Bucks, because that's the professional league that's still going, that the you know, we've got some other basketball stuff we'll get to here, but we'll start off with the Bucks here. And this was, we just had last week where we had that thing we were talking about, this pure positivity. You know, we were, as they would say, you know, the duckies and bunnies type of show, because it was great last week. The Bucks went on a 5-game winning streak. They moved it up to 6, taking out that win while we were still on the air last week. Well, on the air, I guess, not on the air. That's a rather old way of deferring, because it never goes over the air unless it's through Wi-Fi, I guess. But either way, they got that win against the Nuggets. All right. They pulled that off. They pulled away late, got a win against the Nuggets. That was a big win. Doing so in a game where it seemed the Nuggets, just in that first half, they could not miss. Even late in the game, it was like 81-81 while we were still on recording here and everything. Bucks pulled away 125-112. Had a lot of good help everywhere on up and down the roster in that one. It was great. I mean, that was, at that point, it's a swing through a road series here where they had two in a row against the Cavs and then beat the Nuggets. Three straight road wins, took the winning streak to 6 straight games at that point after the other games before that. But yeah, then this last week just fell apart. They got 3 straight losses here. The Suns one is probably the most heartbreaking, Aaron. I know our friend over at Ober Sports, Jedi Ober, he was not pleased with that. I think somebody pointed out the Bucks haven't actually had a last second winning shot, like game winner, in like 3 years, 3 or 4 years. Like they don't. Bucks had the ball. They had the ball. They had a chance to win the game. It's 125-124, and the Bucks just don't get it done. They just can't finish it off at the end there, and it's massively heartbreaking. But, I mean, you get those every now and then. I guess in this sense, that game happens that way every time for this Bucks team. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, following that up with rather lackluster games against the Jazz, who, I mean, Jazz are talented. But then the Thunder. Losing to the Thunder? I don't know what's going on with this team right now. This game against the Thunder is the one that's got me the most flummoxed here, Aaron. Mm-hmm. We talked last week. One of the big things we talked about, and they immediately went the other way with me. If you can get two players from the bench getting you 10+, you get double digits from two guys on the bench, mm-hmm. the Bucks win a ridiculous amount of time. And that's how they started off in that Suns game. They got a good lead. They had, I forget who it was. I think Portis was at 10 and Augustine was at 6 at halftime, or at the end of the first quarter or halftime, somewhere in there. So you're like, man, we're on our way. This game's going to go our way. And then it just fell apart. So they immediately had a two double-digit bench player and lost. But then, I mean, this game against Oklahoma City, they got 21 points from Portis, right? I mean, right. That's fantastic. I mean, that's partially because putting him in there at center and taking out Lopez, who only had 2 points. Mm-hmm. And oddly, also, I'm looking at this too. There were only two players in the entire team who had a plus-minus that was positive. Portis is +6. Giannis is +4. Every single other player had a negative plus-minus in this game. I mean, what is going on? I mean, like, the Thunder aren't that big a team. They're not that good a team. They're 4-8 at home. They don't even have that big a home court advantage or anything. I don't get it. Just what goes on here?
Maybe it was after getting beat up by the Suns and the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz are legit. They're number one in the West right now. Suns are an up-and-coming team. They're number four in the West. So, I don't know. Maybe after just a rough West Coast swing, last game of the swing, Oklahoma City, the worst of the three teams. And maybe just, I mean, before that had been at Cleveland, at Denver. I mean, that was the sixth straight game on the road. And yeah. I mean, at Cleveland, Nuggets, Suns, Jazz, Thunder. I mean, and the Bucks, for being number two in the East, have a losing record at home or a losing record on the road, which is just weird to see, any of the top teams. I mean, they're almost perfect. They're 9-2 at home, but I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those, like, when a team loses in baseball on Sunday during the flyaway game for no real reason, it's just like, well, that was, maybe it's just, I want to go home. I'm sick of being on the road. Blah, 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 blah. We can't go out. We can't do anything because we,
Well, it does bear saying they were without Drew Holiday. I mean, that's one thing. But, man, you figure even without Drew Holiday, Forbes gets you 14 points. You should be able to find somebody else on this bench who can get you something. Mm-hmm. And Bryn Forbes has been a very nice addition. I'm very happy with having him on this team. I like him off the bench more than starting, but, I mean, come on. They lost by 5 to the Thunder, who are not a good team particularly. Mm-hmm. And that's one they got to have. And, I mean, it's not going to really haunt them down the stretch, but the thing that's going to bother me is, what is this telling me about this team at this point? And what should I take away from this? Because that's all you're looking at this point is, what do we take away from this? I guess the first thing you take away is they allowed 41.7% shooting from three. But,
that's not good.
That is not good. That's pretty fantastic. Like, the Thunder only shot 47% overall, but 41.7% from three. They actually shot 56% from the free throw line. You should have fouled them on every three. Just punch him.
Why not?
Knock him to the ground.
Well, no, punching. No, come on, John.
No, not punching.
That's a different kind of foul.
Open-handed slap. Just
the ball. That was a plural ball. Plural ball. Slap the ball.
No, slap the ball. Just knock it away. Just make sure they don't make it. That's all.
Don't grace in it. What was that kid's name from Duke?
Alan Grayson.
Alan Grayson always liked to go low. Yeah. Nice guy. Still one of the most hated players in the NBA, and it's all for what he did when he was at Duke.
Kind of a punk. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not. But yeah, maybe, he seems like a punk every time he's on the floor. Maybe he's nice at home. I don't know, but he's a punk on the floor. I'm sure he's...
What is his first name?
Alan, right?
Alan
Grayson? I'm pretty sure I got that right. I remember watching him. He was at Duke for quite a long time. He's playing. I saw some highlight thing from him this last week. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's what we got here coming up. I'm just double checking what we've got for the remaining games coming up. And the rest of the way here, they get to play the Raptors next. So I mean, that's one.
Never an easy out.
No. I'm trying to think. Like, the last time they played them, they got them 115 to 108. They got back-to-back against Toronto. They got this Tuesday, Thursday. Two home games against Toronto, one of which will be on TNT. And then they'll get Oklahoma City again, but at home. So they got a nice little home stretch coming up here. And these are teams they really – I mean, Toronto back-to-back, that's a rough little gig. If they split that, I'm not going to be terribly upset. But they're a better team than Toronto, especially at this point. They get Oklahoma City at home. They get Sacramento at home. They get Minnesota at home. And then, you know, then they're going to have to get New Orleans – the Clippers, Denver, and Memphis on the road there.
Oh, great. So, yeah.
I mean, in the end, we keep talking about this. Like, the biggest thing we're not trying to get here is, like, man, we got to win because who knows if the Bucks will make the playoffs. The point is like, what is this team going to look like in the playoffs? Because that's really the only thing I'm concerned about in this league at this point is we've seen them in the playoffs. We've seen them get that one seed twice. And I don't care if Philadelphia gets it because I'm not afraid of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But, man, just the Bucks still have the best point differential in the East. And they're a half game up on Brooklyn. And they're 2.5 up on the Pacers in their own division. They have the second best point differential in the entire NBA behind the Jazz, who they just lost to. So, yeah, it's... Hmm. I don't know. I mean, just I would like to see them be able to go back to back a little more easily. I'd like to see them get more runs. I don't think they lost two games in a row all of last year until the playoffs.
Not until just before the playoffs, right? What that's right. The bit was, or just before the playoffs, they lost two games in a row.
Yeah, after they'd clinched the one seed and it was in the bubble.
Maybe. I don't know. I forget exactly how it worked out, but yeah, something like that.
But I mean, like, we just lost three in a row. I don't remember the last time I saw the Bucks lose three straight, and they've had a couple little losing streaks this year where I don't know, it worries you a little bit. At this point though, you have to be I don't know what's going on. The entire East looks down. I mean,
right.
The fourth seed right now is the Pacers, and they're 14-14. The Celtics are 13-13. The Knicks are in the sixth seed. So you know the world is topsy-turvy. Everything is upside down. We're through the looking glass. A 14-15 Knicks team is in sixth place.
The New York Knicks of Arlington. Yes.
And the Hornets and Raptors, both of which with losing records. So three teams with losing records and two teams with 500 records are currently sitting in the playoffs in the East. The team that won the East last year is 11-15 and outside the playoffs.
Right.
So weird. If the playoffs started today, first off, everyone would be confused because they're not really scheduled for several months yet. But secondly, the Bucks would play the Hornets, but a 13-15 yes. Hornets team. So
yeah,
that part doesn't bother me there. It's just what's going to happen. You got the Nets, the Pacers, and the Sixers, the teams who were, and probably the Celtics too. I mean, we got to find ways to make sure that we're not having issues there, but. I'm seeing this now, just to bring this up to you, Aaron, just so you have this in your mind while you're talking what you're going to say next year. But man, the Sixers are on a two-game losing streak. Pacers lost last time. Mm-hmm. Celtics are on a two-game losing streak. Of the top five teams in the East, only one of them has won in their last couple of games here, it looks.
Yeah, no, the 76ers, in the last 10 games, the 76ers are 6-4. The Bucks are 5-5. The Nets are 6-4. Then the Celtics and Pacers are both 3-7. Knicks are 6-4. Like, nobody in the East has more than six wins in their last 10 games.
The Bucks right now are 8-0 in the division. Now, they're 16-11 overall. That means they have a losing record the minute they step out of sight the Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about that? How about them apples? Hey, pop quiz for you, John.
Oh.
Name three players that played for the Hornets.
At any point in history or just right now?
Sure, at any point in history.
Oh, any point in history is too easy. Tony Bennett did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, for a little bit. Frank Kaminsky was a Hornet. Muggsy Bogues was a Hornet.
Yes.
I think before they moved, wasn't Baron Davis, wasn't he with them for a little bit before they became New Orleans?
New Orleans Hornets, yes. Because actually, what is the Pelicans now used to be the Hornets before the Hornets became
yes,
the Hornets.
Yes, yes, yes. And then the Hornets were the Bobcats for a little bit and then became the Hornets. And
because it only made sense.
So. Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to go back to being the Hornets and Buzz.
Oh, come on. You're missing the most famous Hornet of all time. Come on.
I said Muggsy Bogues. No.
No, you did. Well, you did. You did say Muggsy Bogues, yes. No, Grandma Ma.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's Larry Johnson, right. Yeah, UCLA, UNLV.
Yeah,
UNLV. Yes, sorry.
Under Tarkanian.
Yes, that team. Yeah, along with Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson was the best.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to you, John.
All right. Yeah. Jeez, the Central.
It wasn't that easy to name that many Hornets. So that's the thing. So maybe if I would have put it at five or six, but yeah, I forgot. As Wisconsinites, we all know that Kaminsky played with them for a little while too. So.
Yeah. And, Tony Bennett out of UWGB.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, man, I'm looking at this, too. I mean, the Bucks have an easier division to try to pull out of here because they got Cleveland, Chicago, and Detroit. The Pacers are decent, but not that great. The Southeast, only one team is probably making the playoffs, it looks like, right now, because Miami, Atlanta, Orlando, and Washington looks bad. Every single team in the Atlantic currently would make the playoffs. Every single team in that division.
Who did the Heat lose? Did the Heat lose anybody?
I don't know that they lost much. It's just, I think they just had the weird run where Tyler Hero happened to just make a bunch of shots. And now he's remembering he's just a guy.
Yeah.
And that's hurting him some. I don't know. I don't know.
Jimmy Butler was pretty clutch down the stretch last year, too. I don't know. I really haven't heard much about him this year, but.
Aaron, what are your general feelings here? I want to get this, like, I don't want to be alarmist, but this is a show we're supposed to talk about some of these things. But, I mean, like, does Giannis look right?
Not really. Not from what I've seen. But, I mean, what's right and what's wrong? I mean, maybe adjusting to a new team, adjusting to a new pay scale. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he generally had the same team for about 4 years.
Yeah,
until this year, there was a major shakeup, and
the
ever-evolving Giannis. I wonder, you wonder how much he's. Yeah, I know he's not Kevin Durant, who wears his emotions on his sleeve, and any foul thing said about him can throw him off his game for weeks on end. But I mean, I wonder how much pressure he's feeling after two dominant regular seasons and then an off season of. Speculation of why would Giannis want to come play for the Bucks again because Milwaukee sucks, you know, and then he signed the deal and now he feels this immense pressure too that he needs to elevate his game because he doesn't want to just be big Russell Westbrook. He wants to be the best player in the league. He wants to be LeBron.
Yeah.
You wonder how much that pressure he's feeling. And now, especially since he's long-term in Milwaukee, you know, and he's probably bound and damn determined that he is going to get Milwaukee to a final and win one because he believes he can be the best, you know? So I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on. Also too, the world's not right. He's adjusting to being a new father. Anybody who's been a father for the first time, there's a little bit of adjustment period in your life. Like just trying to I was thinking about that stuff the other day about like when I was still single before I met Holly, you know, like all the time I had to do everything, you know, I never felt rushed, you know, getting a good solid 2 hour workout wasn't a problem, you know, never feeling like I had to be anywhere except for work stuff, you know, but I never had to be anywhere for anything. Like And if I was an hour late to something big, who gives a whoop? Because you know what? If it's not work, I don't owe anybody anything, right? Well, yeah. Now if you're, you can't just lounge around. You've got, if you're not doing your job, and if you're not getting it done, you need to be home, be a dad, you know? And it, you wonder how much, you know, he, and he's obviously a family first kind of guy, yeah, obviously. Yeah. You wonder if that feeds into it at all. I mean,
I'm just trying to get a feel for it because I'm honest. I mean, like, I look at it in the games and I don't see him take over just periods of time. At the end of the day, his numbers are still, I guess, roughly similar. His rebounding's down about 2 rebounds a game from last year. Mm-hmm. It's the lowest. Mm-hmm. It's lower than it was in either of the last 2 years.
His assist numbers. He's also playing less minutes, isn't he?
He's playing actually more minutes per game. He's at 33.4 minutes. He was at 30.
We discussed that last week.
Yeah, 30.4 last year and 32.8 the year before. His numbers, his minutes are actually slightly up.
That's right. We talked about his minutes being up, but him being a little bit more away from the ball and not demanding it, and not letting the other players play.
Yeah, his assist numbers are essentially the same, 5.9, 5.6, 5.7 over the last 3 years. So he's right there. And actually, his points are right between his last two seasons. He was at, 2018, he's at 27.7. Last year, 29.5. He's at 28.0 right now. So, I mean, like, I don't know why it feels that way. It just feels like maybe it's just because I'm used to there being, you know, a 3-minute stretch where Giannis just decides that he's going to make sure that he kills a run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they'd make 2 or 3 big shots, and then you just say like, and now Giannis is going to take the ball and he's going to make sure he scores here. And you know, it's like, you're not catching up right now. Go back down, try to do it again, and then I'm coming right back at you again. And part of that is I hope that it's because he doesn't feel he has to. But, right. I mean, I don't know how much of it is just – I don't know how much of it's the coaching and the rotation on here. The bench has been wildly inconsistent, and some of that is just who's on the floor and when, how often are they getting them out there. And, you know, Budenholzer has to carry some of the load for that, I think, at least, right?
All right.
All right.
Yeah. I think summed up very well, so.
All right. Moving on to the Badgers men's basketball team. If you want to talk about
going from bad to worse, John,
it really is because that
at
Michigan
the end of the,
game,
at the end of the day, the Bucks still have Giannis. I mean,
yeah, and his numbers are similar. The gosh, the stuff coming out of Madison this last week, the loss to Michigan was disheartening and gross. They were up by 14. Michigan makes a late 2-point shot to end the half. It's a 12-point lead at half. They lose by 8 in the final? Yeah. Lose by 8. They had the lead until about 2 minutes left in this game. I mean, and they just watched it walk away. I mean, there was a point where it's like they were up. Well, I mean, like they had scored 39 in the first half and were up by 12. And then from there on out, you just watch it just tear apart where I was like, man, I don't know if they're going to get anywhere near getting 20 for the rest of this game. The shooting disappeared. They never rebound. There are never offensive rebounds. There's just nothing. There are times where you know they can't get the rebound because all 5 players are somewhere near the 3-point line. They're not running an offense half the time, it seems. Like, I don't see the off-ball moves. The number of times where the play was literally get away and let Dimitri Trice drive. Like a clear-out play. It for the Badgers, it was like, what is happening here?
So what you're saying is the kid with the sign up in the dorm window that said fire guard was right.
I don't know yet. So I put this on Twitter. Guard gets a big plus. I mean, like he gets full credit for bringing that team back last year that looked dead in the water and bringing them back to being a 20-win team that won the Big Ten, the team that nobody would have wanted to play last year.
Right.
At the same time, all those guys came back and they're all worse this year.
Right.
Like how he gets he has to bear the blame for that too.
Right.
He wants to get the credit for getting that team to where they were last year and what they've looked like at that point. He has to be the guy who has to own up what they look like this year. Reavers, I don't know what happened to Reavers. Reavers was a great force. He was a defensive presence. He did a lot of things last year. He's not doing anything right now. He just doesn't. And I don't understand it. He's a big guy. He should be able to own the post. The Badgers, it should just be impossible to get in the lane on this team. And it's not. It's not. I mean, you saw what Illinois did to him. They just took it straight at him. The whole game. Michigan could drive whenever they wanted. And just with impunity, they got to the hoop and they got up and they could do things. And just Potter seems to have some of it, but it's like Reavers, I don't get. And I mean, Brad Davison, where is he? I mean, put him on a milk jug. I can't figure out what happened to him and his game. I want to try to find the stat. Somebody put it up on here. It was like he's shooting something like 25% inside the 3-point line. Like it's a ridiculous number. You're just like, I don't understand human beings shoot like that in this day and age. I mean, he is not not a bad player.
Human beings that play for a D1 basketball team.
Yeah, somebody who is in the position to have been right where they are. I mean, 25% for that. It's just like, I don't get this. Here it is. Brad Davison's shooting is 23.8% inside the arc this year. That's the worst mark in the country for any player with 50 or more two-point attempts. Nobody else in the country is below 25%. There are only five other players below 30. He's one of the worst shooters in this game. I mean, and that's the thing is like they've got several guys who have to come in and fill up that take up that mantle then and try to be a guy to make a shot. But I mean, Davison was a guy who was good for two or three 3-pointers a game. He'd get you 8 points and he'd play solid defense. And he's vanished. It's just a gross game. The second half was absolutely abysmal. We've seen good things from some of these younger guys. I mean, they're going to have to take over here very soon for some of these other guys. But, I mean, Jonathan Davis plays huge minutes now because you have to take Davison off the floor. You have to take him off the floor.
If you're missing 75% of the shots you're shooting.
Yeah, he's one of – where is it? He's one of six on the game. One of five from three. He had two offensive rebounds. He had four defensive rebounds, though. So he had a six-rebound game. But, man, just three personal fouls. Some of them are just reputation alone because one of them, the Michigan player cut in front of him, threw his elbow up into Davison's chest on a fast break where neither of them was on ball, and then fell over, tripping over his own feet, and they called a push. And Davison never moved his arms, never touched him with his hands, nothing. The guy jumped in front of him, tried to shove an elbow into his chest, and then tripped over his own feet, and that was a foul on Davison. I tweeted out that there's some point where just the narrative of it's athletic Michigan versus scrappy Wisconsin hurts. It hurts because the referees believe you're the scrappy team that's going to push and shove and get through. And, you know, if you're going to be that reputation, maybe go out and be it at least. This team doesn't have any bite.
Oh, hey, by the way, speaking of players who can't shoot, I'd be remiss if I didn't go back and correct ourselves from last week. Okay. We couldn't think of Ethan Happ until after the show was done.
Because he'd been 2 years prior. It threw me off. I was like, what?
Yeah. Owen got a hold of me this last week. He actually stopped by my office. He was in Madison. He's like, he's a big basketball guy. And he goes, I can't believe you didn't think of Ethan Happ. And I'm like, actually, we did after the show, but we never brought it up during the show. So yeah, Ethan Happ, who pretty much didn't make the NBA because his senior year, he shot 441 from the free throw line. He actually had a higher field goal percentage than he did free throw percentage.
Yeah, he's one of those kind of guys who was athletic enough to be able to do several things well enough to really dominate a small portion of a game in college. You know, he could play enough defense, he could jump enough. But I mean, like, when he goes to the next level, he doesn't shoot well enough and he can't shoot free throws. And there's no room for that. So yeah, he was just that kind of guy. If you want to look at, if you want to feel better about being a Badger fan, I mean, you could look over at Marquette, who continues to disappoint us at this point. that team, they fell apart pretty quickly. And I don't get it. They've got enough talent on that team to be able to do some things. DJ Carlton they've got some guard play. They've got some other things, but they are second to last. They are a thank God for DePaul school right now. Jeez. Yeah, they are 5-10 in the Big East and 9-12 overall. It's just not a lot going right for them. I mean, for a team that has the ability to put Garcia and John down low with the type of size that this team does have, and what is, you know, admittedly a decent conference, not in their best years, but this is a decent conference. But I mean, they played Seton Hall, who's a team they should be able to hang with. Seton Hall isn't killing anybody right now. Garcia got 0 points on 0-6 shooting. I mean, like, Davison's looking down on that and just like, man, 0-6. I hit one. Kane goes out there, shoots 3-13. DJ Carton, he's been doing, he's got a good drive. He's got good move. He puts up 16 points in that loss. But, I mean, just like, there's just nothing going on this team. They have no confidence. And this is a team that's beaten, like, Creighton and Wisconsin and some of these other places. But it's just, they don't look good right now. And just down the stretch, I don't know who they're going to beat anymore. Like, they just lost, like, in this stretch here, lost to DePaul, lost at Providence, lost to St. John's at home. They beat Butler at home by 3. Then they lose to Creighton and Villanova, which is going to happen. And then they lose to Seton Hall. I don't know. That's not a good team right now. And we were expecting more with this coaching staff to be able to get something going, right? I mean, that was the goal with this. They didn't go and get nobody. They got Krzyzewski's right-hand man. And I'll be honest, he's had decent enough talent. I mean, Howard last year, Marcus Howard was great. But they don't have that one guy, I guess. They've got some guys who can do things. They're not making the tournament. This team is just not a tournament team. So
no.
So yeah, college basketball not going so great here. I mean, at least for the two big schools in Wisconsin at this point. But that's
how about the women's teams?
Well, we'll cover. No. The Badger women's team is actually way worse. They just got a win this week. They beat Ohio State, but it's like their second Big Ten win of the year. They're the last, I think they're last place or second to last in the Big Ten. That's not going particularly well. The only other things, I guess, we do have Brewer stuff to talk about. The first thing we're going to talk about with the Brewers, because I did promise a friend of the podcast, Wendy Hansen, we would talk about this, but Walker Buehler just
needs to shut up.
He's such a jerk. And when then he deleted it. Like, people don't take screenshots of your idiot tweets, man. For those of you who somehow don't know anything about this, Walker Buehler, after Turner re-signed with the Dodgers, because it's the team he's known as pretty much his whole career, team he just won a World Series with, and they have way more money than everybody, okay?
And they don't care about the luxury tax, so there you go.
Yeah, because they're really rich and they make a lot more money than everybody else. Well, when they re-signed him, Walker Buehler says, like, what, were we really worried about Milwaukee? Ha, 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 ha. He writes, ha, 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 ha. All right, I was like, and so people are like,
I really think he was going to go to Milwaukee, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, right. Like, were we scared of Milwaukee? I was like, what an absolute, just, I mean, and the fact that he erased it, like, either own it or don't, you little, like, yeah. What a coward.
You can be a jerk, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the other thing, though, is, like, it is exactly what's wrong with baseball. He's acting as if the Dodgers and the Brewers are playing the same game, which they're not. The Dodgers have essentially an infinite supply of money. The Brewers are just, I mean, like we've talked about repeatedly on the show, the point of having these teams is, like, you get to build for a small window. Somebody on Twitter was talking, was like, everyone's mad at the Dodgers for spending this money, but shouldn't you be also mad at the Pirates for only spending $40 million? You're like, they only are spending $40 million because they had to dump everybody in order to build a minor league system again. Because when they had a small window, they traded away their entire minor league system. because mm-hmm. they wanted one chance. When they had Andrew McCutchen at his best, they had to take that shot. And they took their shot, and they had a really nice playoff run and an MVP season for McCutchen. And it wasn't good enough. I mean, you can be like, you know, the Royals and get your shot and win it, and that's fantastic. But look where they are, you know, just a couple years later, because that's what small market teams have. You build for 4 or 5 years to try to get one shot for a 2 or 3 year window if possible. And that's what mm-hmm. that's what the Pirates are doing. They had to shed salary, trade every good player, because their only chance to get back into that is to go with a bunch of rookies, get as many picks as they can, get as big a farm system as they can, bring them all up together, and hope that something clicks. And the thing is it doesn't always work. Sometimes you do that, and you've wasted 5 years, and then you try it again.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, to jump on it and say, like, oh, yeah, we're like, if the Packers and somebody else are doing that, then you're like, okay, yeah, they're all on equal footing for the most part. Yeah. Then you look at culture of the team, the ownership groups, the coaching staff, the facilities, things like that. You're like, okay, because they can all offer me around the same money, or, you know, based on the salary cap, there's at least the same amount of money for everybody. The Dodgers can spend whatever they want. They could just say, like, whatever the Brewers offer you, come back to us, we'll pay you $2 million more a year. I mean, they could literally do that, I believe. I don't know if they have rules against that specific type of offer, but they can do it. They could just always offer more than the Brewers because they have, I mean, they just, the amount of money they have is ridiculous. And it, like somebody was pointing out, we're all worried about whether there's going to be a runner on second base or whether or not there's going to be another designated hitter in the entire league, or, our pitchers facing less than three batters. And why don't you start with a salary cap? You know, let Milwaukee know, let Kansas City know, let I think of other small market. You know, like let Seattle know that they're going to get a chance. Let the Pirates know that they'll get a chance every year to compete because they can pay it the same amount for everybody. Yeah, that would be the best way to start off here.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, though, the Brewers did add some players. They actually made some additions this year. They added where is his name here? Boxberger. Brad Boxberger to a minor league contract that includes an invitation to the camp for this year. He's 32. He's had 30 plus saves in 2 of his 9 big league seasons. I mean, he's another guy you can put in that bullpen. You don't need him to be your closer because you got two guys who are closer talent. If he can be a guy who can come in and pitch 3 innings, get you a 7th inning guy. Yep.
He needs, as soon as he gets on the road, as soon as he gets in the bullpen, he needs to make a deal with George Webb, and you can get a box burger of 5 burgers for $5
amazing.
If the Brewers score 5 runs or more. Yeah,
that's the best
Box burger box. The box burger box of burgers. There you go. Perfect. I love it. George Webb, get it done.
Make it happen, George Webb. Come on. That is the best thing I've heard all day.
There you go. Yeah, I really want all this COVID to go away because, you know, after finally getting settled down here, now for the first time in my life, I'm close enough to take advantage of, to drive to Milwaukee to get 5 burgers for $5 from George Webb. I've never been able to. Being a kid from up north, it wasn't a possibility. And when I was in Milwaukee, we went to the game. We didn't bother going to George Webb the next day because we weren't in Milwaukee.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that opportunity this summer. So, George Webb, get ready. I want my box burger of my box of box box burger my box burger
box burger box of burgers.
Yes, there you go.
Fantastic. I want you on the ad. They need to make that happen. Brewers also added Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher.
Somebody should be paying me a lot of money to come up with these ad things. So clearly. Remember. So what was last year? Was last year's Super Bowl LIV?
Yeah. Yeah, because this was LIV. Just LV, yeah.
And it was on NBC, which also had that 911 show, I think, that had Liv Tyler on it.
Okay.
And I said, you know, I even tweeted out, I said, NBC, why aren't you cross-promoting a new show that stars Liv Tyler with Super Bowl Liv? And, you know, they could have done that, and they didn't, because they didn't read the tweet. I wasn't even going to charge them.
Just letting us all down with that. That's terrible.
I know, right? Could have brought Bruce Willis into the fold along with Ben Affleck, Steve Buscemi riding a laser, stuff like that. So.
All right. So the Brewers also add Derek Fisher, you know, not the former Laker Derek Fisher, but Derek Fisher, formerly of the Blue Jays. Oddly, yeah. He was designated for assignment after the Blue Jays added David Phelps, former Brewer. Fisher, there's nothing exciting about this ad for me. He's an outfielder. He's got 4 seasons for the Astros and Blue Jays. Looks like he bats like 194 with like a 376 OPS. It's like, all right, man, I'm not at all excited about that yet. I don't know what I mean. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, there's nothing particularly there.
Speaking of just a guy, but just a guy that is near and dear to our hearts that we hated to see go in the first place. Where are we at with Travis Shaw right now? What have you seen about him? Are we going to bring back the mayor or not?
I don't know. He's on the list of people that get talked about with the Brewers, at least at this point.
Well, now that Justin Turner's out of the mix, you know, we still need a third baseman.
This is like very a real
third baseman, not Urias, who's the middle infielder.
He really is
like a real third baseman. So
yeah, I love the idea, and I've definitely seen it floated around in several different places. I don't know how much they're actually even talking at this point. There's nothing that's been leaked out about any particular meeting with them, with Shaw or anybody like that there. So I mean, I just don't know what's.
I mean, the falling out wasn't that bad, was it? I mean, he had a really bad year that last year with the Brewers, but I mean,
I don't think it was bad. I just think he didn't have a great year and he came out there. I mean, I guess here's some of the names. I mean, the ones that we've been talking about, like Shaw's on the list of people. So would be Mikhail Franco and Jake Lamb. I mean, among those three, which one would you be most excited about seeing possibly joining the Brewers at this point?
Me, because I have a Travis Shaw jersey for my son that he could start wearing again now.
That's true.
I bought it big so he'd be able to wear it till he was like 10, and thinking Travis Shaw's not going anywhere. And then because I don't, my kid is not going to be one of those people that wears the jersey of someone who doesn't play for the team anymore. My favorite ones are the Chimura jerseys. How many Chimura jerseys I still see walking around?
So twofold. Gross.
Not be wearing a Chimura jersey because of what he did. And second, Chimura hasn't played for the Packers since 1997.
Yeah, it was right after.
And he's not in the Packer. He's not in the Packer Hall of Fame.
I think he is.
Is he? Why would they do that? Are you sure?
I can double check it, but I'm pretty sure he is.
By the way, before I close this tab, his Grayson Allen is the guy from Duke.
We put it at the backwards. Yeah. Grayson Allen. Yeah. I mean, the Brewers did sign Daniel Robertson back in January. But, yeah, I guess Mikhail Franco's got the higher war among the highest war among the three we just talked about with Lamb and Shaw. I guess Shaw's the one I'd rather see just because I think he knows the guys. I think he knows the locker room. I think it works out better that way than bringing in somebody else like that. Franco's probably the more talented. He's the youngest of those three. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd still rather see Shaw. And part of that absolutely is probably not sentimental.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, because as long as you have a bunch of guys that are the same, you know, let's bring back, even if Shaw's slightly less, has slightly worse numbers.
There you go.
Bring him back for the popularity factor. He's already a fan favorite in this town. Like, he's the mayor of Ding Dong City. I mean,
everybody can bust out their bobbleheads again. Just bring them around.
What? Right. So,
yeah. Somewhere out there, too.
Chimura jerseys are the worst ones to see that people still wear, right? So I mean, like, because he hasn't played forever and.
And the reason he's basically not hired when he left, the Packers just kind of let him go. They're like, no, we're kind of done with you now. So, yeah. No, and it was, yeah. If you don't know the story, just look up that story. It's pretty gross.
Listen to Packers. he is in the Packer Hall of Fame for, I guess he was in the Pro Bowl three times, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a very good tight end. Just, yeah, he grosses you out. Yeah. Just so everybody else remembers too, Ryan Braun is kind of out there yet, listed as a free agent, but he's kind of said he's not really, he doesn't really have his heart set on playing baseball this year. I don't know how much of that's cover for saying like I'm not too eager to sign something if it's not good for me, or how much of that is just understanding that there's not going to be a lot of market for him unless he goes back to Milwaukee.
Oh my God, that designated hitter rule is really ticking me off right now. If there was a designated hitter rule, he'd be great for that role.
Yeah, yeah, he'd be very good for that role.
If all he had to do was hit.
Right, that's a designated hitter. I think that's what they do. Right? Did I miss something? Yeah. No. I don't know if I missed a day of school there or something happened.
Yeah. Sorry, stating the obvious there, but yeah, I mean, if the guy only had to hit, I mean, you'd think he probably wouldn't get hurt as much. I don't know.
Maybe. But they had it last year, and he still missed a fair amount. Yeah. All right. The only other thing I guess we'll say is, you know, J.J. Watt's still out there, and if there's anything I can wish or ask of the universe that would make that happen, I'd likely do it because he's one of my favorite players of all time.
Make the salary cap go up $30 million a year magically so the Packers can afford to bring him back.
Yeah, if I could do that. They can find a way. They already restructured Bakhtiari's contract to kind of push some money down to the next couple of years in terms of converting his bonus and stuff like that. There's a couple other things that'll happen. Probably Preston Smith will be gone.
That was a big one that I saw. Like either Preston Smith has to restructure or he'll be gone.
He'll be gone.
Which the Smith brothers bit was a big thing. But God, down the stretch, you know, he made a little bit of a splash when he got here. Zadarius has been great. Yep. Zadarius has been as advertised, if not better. And but God, Preston Smith, man, after a big splash when he first kind of got here, he's been mostly disappointing.
Well, yeah, and he's been misused a little bit. But yeah, he did not have quite the year that he had the year before. The other thing too is the emergence of Gary, Rashawn Gary being on the other side. He's
which
better.
Was supposed to happen. Yes.
So
his first round draft pick, he's supposed to be that good, and he will be that good. And we told everybody last year that he would be that good, and that's what makes Preston Smith expendable too.
Yeah.
You know, because he's at that point, if Gary's starting to start, then you have an overly priced depth guy, which you can't do that in this league. Yeah. So, and if I can go one further for anybody else who's crying about the salary cap and how Aaron Rodgers needs to take some off his salary, you know, a la Tom Brady, or I guess Tom Brady's the only one that's ever took a reduced salary to get more talent on his team.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers, his contract is pretty team friendly at this point, considering a lot of quarterback. I mean, he'll be like, I don't think he'll be top 10 at the beginning of next year for contracts in the NFL.
Possibly. And the other thing, too, is what people have been talking about is trying to restructure his deal so as to essentially give him more money, but put that money down the road. So it's, you know, it's part of salary cap, just restructuring how it sits in terms of his bonuses so he can collect that later. Well, he'll collect it immediately, obviously, but it can go against salary cap later when it won't hurt the team as much. But the side part of this, the conspiracy theory part of this, is that Rodgers wants that because then it will guarantee he has to be on the team longer so that the Packers can't afford to cut him for a longer period of time and essentially, you know, kick Jordan Love down the road to being trade bait more than anything. So I was like, oh, maybe.
If he brings Jordan Love stays on the team as a backup.
Yeah,
you know, I said that when he was drafted. I said, if quarterback's the most important position on the team, and this team has been hurt hard whenever Aaron Rodgers goes down, you know, back in the day when Brett Favre went down, we'd have Ty Detmer, we'd have Mark Brunell, we'd have Aaron Rodgers to come in and back him up.
Doug Peterson.
We always had guys who could come in and play. know, they weren't superstars, but they could play. You know, it wasn't a detriment to the team. Every time Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, Scott Tolzien, Seneca Wallace, what's his name from UCLA? They were bad. Huntley, they were bad. They were brutally bad. Like, Seneca Wallace was brought in because he was a lifetime backup who, well, at least won't lose you the game. Well, he lost us some games, you know, and it was...
And he got hurt.
And yeah. Yeah, I mean, the best backup we've had for Aaron Rodgers since he's been here was Matt Flynn, you know, and even his second, and you know, I'm the biggest Flynn fan of all time, you know, so I am happy that Matt Flynn owns the single game touchdown record for the Green Bay Packers. But anyways, he does, folks.
He does.
Just remember, against Detroit, six. That's right. Anyways, but I mean, that's the closest thing to a good backup Aaron Rodgers has ever had. And so I'm still going to stand by it. Like, if you feel like he's going to be a good player, whether you have Aaron Rodgers or not, which is a luxury. And, you know, you were at the time, like, Rodgers has been coming off a couple of rough years before LaFleur got here. Like, if it's the most important position, don't just go and spend like some fifth round draft pick out of some guy from the Colonial Division. You know, from whatever they got out east, you know, that's some rough quarterback that, you know, go out and get a talent and develop him. And if you never have to play him, then whatever. You know what? Your first round draft pick is a 50-50 bust shot anyways. So especially when you're drafting late in the round. And yeah, if they traded up to get him, they traded up to get him. But you know what? You got a first round draft pick for your backup quarterback. Be glad. Because if Aaron Rodgers takes a bad shot and he's out for five games, your whole season could be made or broke. That doesn't sound as good, but anyways, it could be lost on those five games, you know. So we got Jordan Love, great. You know, some people say, well, Tim Boyle right now is better than Jordan Love. Jordan Love didn't have the offseason; he hasn't been developed yet. Whatever, you know. Hey, if at some point Jordan Love is so good that they have to release Aaron Rodgers, a la like when Aaron Rodgers got too good and they had to release Favre or trade him. I guess they traded Favre to the Jets for a second pick. Great. That's a problem we would love to have, right?
Yeah. No, that'd be fantastic. I'm just trying to look up.
At some point Love was so good that Rodgers had to be pushed down the road, then we'd be fine.
I was just trying to see if there's anyone specifically that we were looking, because you mentioned picking a quarterback fifth round out of the Colonial. I was trying to see who maybe I guess I don't know who James Madison's quarterback was this year, but I was just going to take a look. Maybe Villanova, but they didn't play last year, remember, because the Colonial actually shut down for COVID. They didn't play any games.
Yeah.
So there was no 2020 season. It's hard to guess who the best quarterback in the Colonial coming out this year would be. But, man, I'd like to know that.
Is Bethune-Cookman in the Colonial?
I just had it up and closed it.
Bethune-Cookman, the College of should have been Hall of Famer Nick Collins, right?
Collins, yes. All right. Yeah. Okay, we're going to wrap up everything else we have here, and actually a little bit more high speed and happy in what we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, like I said, we're going to start off a little happier here. Let's start off with some top-ranked teams here. Wisconsin women continue to dominate the world just in so many ways. It is wonderful. The women are here to save us sports-wise. Wisconsin women's hockey continues to be number one. They have all 15 first-place votes. This week, they played the Beavers of Bemidji State, which is in Minnesota, for all of you don't know. And they're an unranked team right now, but the Badgers beat them 7-0 and then 4-0. Next week, they will go play UMD, the 7th-ranked UMD Bulldogs in Duluth. And so that should be a good game, too. But, you know, the Badgers number one for a reason. They've been rolling through a lot of teams. Everybody is just kind of practice for them at this point. So that should be at least a better game than what we got here against Bemidji. Goal scorers continue to be very interesting. Daryl Watts leads the nation in goals. Pardon me. I say scoring, but scoring is actually points. She's second in points with 27 points, 13 goals in 14 games, 14 assists in 14 games. They also have Sophie Shirley, who we've talked about here from last year as well. She's a junior. She's got 9 goals, 12 assists, puts her at fourth place in the nation in terms of overall scoring. So, yeah, those two getting it done pretty well. Brett Pettit, she's also got 8 goals, 9 assists. Britta Curl hasn't showed up as much as we thought she would preseason, so she's not listed in the top 20 in terms of overall scoring. But Badgers continue to play well. Don't give up a single goal in this game. It's hard to win when you score no goals. We'll just be very painfully obvious with that point, I guess. But kind of like, you know, designated hitters who just hit kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, just trying to see save percentages here to get anything on there. But yeah, no, the Badgers continue to roll in women's hockey, and they have some continue to be the number one ranked team. Badger men's hockey is up to 5th place in the country. They're ranked number 5, right behind BC, North Dakota, Minnesota State, Minnesota, then Wisconsin. Wisconsin got to play. They were number 7, Wisconsin, playing number 8, Michigan this week, playing in Ann Arbor, and the Badgers split. First game went sideways in the second period. It was a 1-1 game. Wolverines came out, scored 3 goals in the second period, and just kind of ended that game there. The final on that one was 5-1. Next night, Badgers came right back out. They were up early. They got a tied game at 1-1. Badgers get the next 2 goals. They were up 3-1 going into the third with about 3 minutes or so left in the game. Michigan pulled goalie. They ended up getting a goal with the empty net, making it 3-2. And then with a minute 50, the most just fantastic thing, Michigan, trying to pull their goalie, screwed up and put the guy on the ice before they could adequately clear the puck out of the zone. Then they played the puck.
Worst, isn't it?
They played the puck and got a too many men on the ice penalty. So for the last minute 50, they were doing a penalty kill while also pulling their goalie. So it was 5-on-5, but Michigan didn't have a goalie. Badgers ended up, I think it was at least 2 icings that were just, you know, trying to put the puck on net just right, to see if they could. But yeah, Badgers walk away with a 3-2 win, move from 7 up to 5 after the win in Michigan. Michigan had won 6 straight against the Badgers in this series, but now Badgers get the split on the road. Wisconsin is now 14-8-0, second place because of the split. Minnesota pulls a little bit ahead. They're 2 points ahead of Wisconsin in the Big Ten. I mean, if you just want to look at some of the Big Ten points here, though, the Badgers nationally, Cole Caulfield leads all players in points. He has 17 goals in 22 games, 33 total points. He's got a point and a half a game. He has 2 game-winning goals, 6 power play goals this year. Right down in, tied for 4th in points at 26, is Linus Weisbach, and some of that is just he gets to be the guy who feeds Cole Caulfield. Dylan Holloway also, he's not on the same line there, but he's got 25 points in 14 games played. So that puts him at 6th. Badgers with 3 of the top 10 in terms of points on the season. Those first 2 lines have been killer. That first line has been dominant this year. Badgers playing well, playing fast. And Cameron Rowe has been fantastic for that team, getting them a little bit more confidence in between the pipes back there. So it's been really good, especially for having a freshman goalie coming in to kind of spell that out. If you want to go back to feeling good about another top-ranked team, Wisconsin women's volleyball has been incredibly dominant. They are now 8-0. So basically they play 2 against, and people aren't, I don't know if everybody watches, but you know what they do is they play 2 games each. So they won 3-0, then 3-0 against Purdue, 3-0, 3-1 against Illinois, 3-0, 3-0 Rutgers, 3-0, 3-0 Indiana. They have given up a single game in this entire series. They're 8-0. They've only given up 1 game. They are just destroying teams so far. They should get another good win here most likely this weekend. The 20th and 21st, they will play Michigan State in East Lansing. That will be on Big Ten Network Plus on Sunday. And we'll be on the radio otherwise, and I guess they're actually going to be on Big Ten Network on Saturday themselves. That's not a ranked team. That's a team Wisconsin should do beat easily. But the 26th, that's going to be a big one. We're going to be looking forward to that. Wisconsin, number one Wisconsin versus number five Nebraska in volleyball in Madison at the Fieldhouse. It's going to be on Big Ten Network. That should be amazing to watch. Big, big time volleyball. Just for Aaron again, for college wrestling, Wisconsin drops two spots. They are 1-4, but they dropped to 19th in the country. They're right behind 5-4 Oklahoma and just ahead of 4-1 Navy. And part of this is just who you're playing and when. I mean, so Wisconsin has played much better competition and done better in those. They're at 84 points on the year. That puts them 5 points ahead of Navy at number 20. But yeah, I don't think they had much coming up this week. I didn't see any upcoming match in the following week, but we like to keep our eyes on that, let you know where Wisconsin is. Iowa continues to be the number one ranked team. They have all 14 first place votes. Big Ten just dominated. It's Iowa, number two Michigan, number three Penn State. I think Penn State actually took on Michigan this last week too and moved up to three. Nebraska at 8, Minnesota at 9, Illinois at 10, Ohio State at 12. So it is a rough road. Purdue at 17, Wisconsin at 19.
Big Ten dominating the winter sports, by the way.
Yeah.
Note.
Doing very well.
Basketball, wrestling, and hockey.
Yeah. I mean, and volleyball. Volleyball is normally a fall sport, but right now it's where it's playing. So, yeah. Fantastic time for a lot of these sports. I mean, wrestling they're in a rough conference, so it's tough there. But number one ranked volleyball, number one ranked women's hockey, number five ranked men's hockey. Just to give us something good at the end of the day to think about here in Wisconsin sports, things are pulling along nicely. I think the Wisconsin Boys Hockey State Championships are this week. I see, was it Lakeland made their first Final Four, their first state semifinal ever. So that looked very good. They beat Rhinelander, unfortunately, on their way there. But yeah, it's gonna be a good week here coming up. Everybody, hey, it's a rough little road for Badger basketball coming up. The Bucks are gonna have a little better stretch here in the next couple weeks. A couple easier games here, so things should kind of pick up a little bit. We'll hopefully get a little bit more Brewers talk, and we'll see where we go from here. But thank you again for joining us, everybody. It's always good to be able to come back here with you guys and, of course, with my dear friend Aaron and start talking sports again. Remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. Remember to follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. And remember, whether you are on the town or on the go or safe at home on the couch, it is always on Wisconsin.
You didn't let me get back to Bethune-Cookman.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.